1 John chapter 2, we find, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." This morning, I would like us to consider seven dangerous love affairs. Before we get in to the lesson, I want to express my thanks for everyone that's here this morning. I want to thank David especially for filling in with everything while we were away. A small group, when someone's away, it puts extra work on everybody else, and we need to all be praying and working together that the word again might go out from here and reach the community. Seven dangerous love affairs. I don't know if this is politically correct to show a picture like this today. You know, years ago, people would talk about finding lipstick on somebody's collar, and I never understood why would somebody kiss somebody's collar and why would they leave lipstick on it. And anyway, John talks about loving the world. And if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. And all that's in the world, the lust, that lust is a very strong desire. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. You know, when you're away on vacation and you go somewhere and they have a buffet, that's the lust of the flesh. How many times do you go back to get more? How much do you get? That's a small lust of the flesh. We know there are so many lusts of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, people see something and they want it. They want it, they take it. The pride of life. And the world's passing away. And those lusts. But the one that does the will of God abides forever. Love is a very strong power in this world. And God's word says that love is the highest attribute of mankind. Animals don't love, trees don't love, rocks don't love, but man does. It's greater than faith, greater than hope. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether they are prophecies, they will fail. Whether they are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Love, a very powerful force, an affection. And friends, when we have misplaced affections, those can be very dangerous. So I'd like for us to consider seven dangerous love affairs. The first one to consider, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he talks about men loving their own self. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And some of these are going to fall in together and overlap, but lovers of themselves. Verse 3, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep in to households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Men are just going to be lovers of themselves. They are going to go out. They are going to push a doctrine that they have, something that they make it their point in life to make sure that everybody does. Well, that's one example in religion. They may be lovers of themselves, where they just want to go out and do everything to satisfy their own lust, their own desires. And it may turn out to be something that's innocent in the beginning, some recreational activity or something. They like doing that, and they do it more and more, and then eventually God's left out of the picture. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. How do you know if somebody's a lover of their own self? Can you just look at somebody and tell? Well, not really. But then sometimes you have a really good idea that they are lovers of their self. I put social media up here. You go to some social media pages and you'll see somebody posts a different profile of themselves every day. They want the world to look at them. They'll tell you what they had for breakfast, what they had for lunch, what they had for supper, where they went, what they did. And they focus on themselves. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And what's wrong with that? When we love our own self, that can be dangerous. That can be one of those dangerous love affairs, because we aren't loving God as we ought to. In Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee loved himself and went home unjustified. In verse 9, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Lover of their own selves. That's a dangerous love affair. In Proverbs 6:17 tells us that God hates a proud look. In verse 16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And in verse 18 of chapter 16 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Lovers of our own self is a dangerous love affair, but then we are bombarded with things from society telling us that we should love ourselves, we should do this, we should do that. Again, we've gotten away from listening to what God says and listen too much to the world. Another dangerous love affair is the love of money. The love of money caused the rich young ruler to turn away from Christ. In Mark chapter 10, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lack, go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" This young man, we would say, had it all. And Jesus loved him. He loved him, but this man was sad because he did not want to part with what he had. He did not want to share what he had with others. He loved money more than he loved God. The Apostle Paul warns in 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the root of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from their faith and their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now, I don't know what that looks like out in the audience. It may look like one of those wild carrots that's got a whole bunch growing down there. But this is a dandelion and the roots. And when you look at those roots are deep. And that's why if you go out to a dandelion in your yard and you just twist the top and the top comes off, those roots are still down in there. And what's it going to do? It's going to keep on growing. It's going to keep on growing. It's going to keep on growing until you get to its root. "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I see this word and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. It's almost like being shot with arrows. And we're doing that to ourselves. This is a dangerous love affair, loving money. But again, in the society that we live in, they push for everybody from the time a child is young to get a good job, make lots of money, go to a good school. And I'm not saying any of those things are wrong, but we've got to have our focus not on loving those things, not on loving money, but on loving God. And when we were away for the week and I would turn on the news every so often just to see what was going on, and they were talking about how big the stock market went down this last week. And you know, people that love money, I'm sure they were panicking. Oh no, what am I going to do? What's going to happen to all my money? And then it went up a little bit, and I like the phrase, I've heard it before. Somebody called it a dead cat bounce, where went down and up just a little bit. But people get their whole life wrapped up in, what is the stock market doing? This is a warning. The love of money, it's a root of all kinds of evil. Again, that doesn't mean we shouldn't have it, but we've got to be careful. It can be dangerous. The love of the praise of men, that's another dangerous love affair. Jesus said, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." If you want glory, if you want praise from men, he didn't say, don't do it. Well, he said, do not do your alms to be seen of men. But he's not saying you cannot do that, but he's saying if you do that, that's the only glory you're going to get. You aren't going to get any glory from the Father. And that's what we want, is glory from the Father. Matthew 23:6, Jesus said, "Woe unto them that desire the chief seats." They like to be in the chief places. They like to be seen of men. They like to be in a position where they are noticed. Again, people try to get all kinds of awards and achievements because they like that. Nothing wrong with that, but it can be dangerous. Men love darkness rather than light, John 3:9. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. They don't want people to know what they're doing. Men love darkness because their foolish hearts are darkened. Their hearts are not filled with the light. John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. People don't want others to know what they are doing. They want to try to hide it, want to try and cover it up. And I was watching something the other day. It was an old Western. And I told Carol it was no different back then than it is today, where the people in this town, 1800s, town people would visit one side and the cattle people the other when they would come into town, and the cattle people would tear up this side of town. But all of those businesses were owned by the same handful of people. They were getting money from both sides, and those people that owned those businesses didn't have their names attached to their business, but they had it through somebody else. It's nothing new under the sun. They love darkness. You go to the store and you don't pick up something that has a label on it with all the information that you really want to know. They want to hide some of that. Another dangerous love affair, love for the world. This is something that so many people fall in love with, the world. Paul said Demas forsook him because he loved the world. And when I read that and think about Paul and the relationships that he had with people, the ones that he worked with, the ones that went around with him, just as they did with Christ, and for somebody to leave him and to go back in the world, I can just imagine that would tear his heart out. But again, we only have control over ourselves, and we need to be careful that we do not go back into the world. Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt because she could not break from the world. She was going in one direction, but she looked back. She wanted to look back and see and remember what was behind her. The rich farmer died as a fool because he lived only for this world, as we've just looked about with him. He thought he had it made. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and I'll tell my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. Take it easy. I've got many goods laid up. And God said, "You fool, tonight your soul is going to be required of you." It's dangerous to fall in love with the things of the world. Some love the love of pleasure more than God. We see that exemplified in Samson, in Belshazzar, in King Herod. An example after example throughout the Bible, people just loved doing what they wanted to do with no regard for loving God and doing what God wants us to do. Now, the next one, the seventh one, is a little bit deeper in the way we look at this. They love not their lives unto death. So this is dangerous because these people that we're going to look at, they loved the right thing and they gave their life because of what they loved. Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto the death." How much do you love your life? Are you willing to give it for Christ? If it came down to the government or someone saying, just as they did back in the first century, you know, bow down to Caesar or we're going to execute you, what would we do? John the Baptist, Matthew 14. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. And so he sent and had John beheaded in prison. John the Baptist gave his life because of what he taught. Could he have escaped that? Probably. What would he have had to have done? Not say that it's wrong to have your brother's wife. Not saying, if he kept his mouth shut on what God teaches on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. But John wasn't that type of person. He was mighty like Elijah. He spoke the word. He spoke the truth. Why? Because he loved the truth. He loved the word. He loved God. And friends, we've got to have that kind of dangerous love affair. That dangerous love affair with God. We can have those first six love affairs. We can have those dangerous love affairs, and what's going to happen? Our soul is going to end up in hell for all eternity. Or we can have this seventh dangerous love affair, and what's going to happen? We're going to end up in heaven around the throne of God for time without end. It's our choice. Stephen in Acts chapter 7. When they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. What things that they heard? Stephen had recounted, if you want a history of the Israelites, like as we're going through the history and geography, read Acts 7. He goes back to the beginning, and he gives a history of everything that the Israelites went through, which included them stoning the prophets, the promise of the Christ to come, and every time the prophets would tell what God said was going to happen, they didn't like that and they killed the prophets. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. I imagine he was the only one that saw this, and when they heard him say this, they thought, this is just it. We've got to stop this person. They stopped their ears. They ran at him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen was one that loved not his life unto death. He was willing to give his life. These are seven love affairs that we need to consider. And we need to consider, do we love these things? Do we love ourselves? Do we love money? Do we love the praise of men? Do we love darkness rather than light? Do we love the world? Do we love pleasure? Do we love those things more than we love God? Friends, God has done everything for us. All of those things, are they pleasurable? They're pleasurable. But as we read about in Hebrews, Moses understood that they were pleasurable, the passing pleasure of sin. They are pleasurable for a short time. And then they are over. They do not satisfy. God is the only one that can satisfy us. God has loved us immeasurably. We need to love him because he deserves it. We need to love him for our protection so that Satan can't get a hold of us. And friends, we need to be a Christian. We need to be a Christian. If we haven't done what we need to do, we need to love God enough that, as we talked about in class tonight, this morning, we need to love God enough that we just don't say, I believe in God. I believe in God, and I want to do what he says. Friends, if there's anyone this morning that needs to respond, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.